You're listening to Worldview from Chicago Public Radio. I'm Jerome McDonnell. According to the publication The Hill, trade lobbyists expect the Bush administration to kick off a fierce election year battle over trade by forcing a vote in Congress on the controversial Colombian Free Trade Deal. Bush has said that the deal is critical to U.S. national security because Colombia is under continuing assault by narcotic terrorists. Bush also highlighted threats to Colombia by Venezuela and Hugo Chavez. There are Colombians opposed to the free trade deal. One is Enrique Daza. Enrique Daza is a trained psychologist and the spokesperson for the Colombian Network for Action Against Free Trade, known by its acronym RECALCA. And Daza is also director of the Center for Labor Studies in Colombia. He sits on the executive committee of the Alternative Democratic Poll, one of the main opposition parties in Colombia. I asked Enrique Daza if he thought the free trade agreement with the U.S. would benefit Colombia.
El Tratado de Libre Comercio no va a traer ningún beneficio para Colombia. Colombia se comprometió a abrir unilateralmente.
The free trade agreement won't bring any benefit to Colombia. Colombia agreed unilaterally to open up imports of all the industrial and farm products within a very short time, up to a maximum of 10 years.
El solo anuncio de que el tratado iba a permitir la apertura de las importaciones ya está ocasionando.
Just the announcement itself that this agreement was pending has already brought losses in both industry and agricultural production. For example, the grain producers already believe that they're going to be losing in the competition and the production, and so they're already giving up and cutting their production.
Y el otro aspecto que sería importante señalar es lo referente a la inversión.
Another important part of this to emphasize has to do with investments. It's said that Colombia would benefit a lot with the international investment, the foreign investment that would happen under this agreement. But actually, investment from other countries, and especially the United States, has already been happening abundantly over the last 5 years.
Pero no es propiamente una inversión, sino es la compra de activos que antes eran del Estado.
But it isn't actually a typical investment. It's really buying up of industries and activities that used to be a function of the government. So, for example, the buying of an electric company doesn't bring increased employment or increased production.
Do you see a possibility for opportunities in a free trade agreement? It's not all about U.S. goods coming flooding into Colombia, but also about Colombian goods coming into the U.S. at a greater rate. The U.S. imports quite a few things from Colombia. Wouldn't there be benefits in a free trade agreement as well?
Bueno, Colombia básicamente vende a Estados Unidos materias primas.
Colombia basically exports raw materials to the United States. For example, coal, petroleum, nickel, the mineral, flowers and coffee. The great majority of products like this really are not benefited by the free trade agreement because they're already covered by trade preferences.
Otros, Estados Unidos no va a dejar de comprar.
And the other thing is that for U.S. strategic reasons, it's not going to stop buying those anyway, the coal and the gas.
Lo que se ha dicho es que Colombia de pronto podría vender algunas frutas.
It has been said that Colombia maybe could start selling more different kinds of tropical fruit and some medicinal plants to the United States.
Pero sobre eso hay dos cosas que hay que señalar. Una, que Estados Unidos tiene unas muy fuertes barreras fitosanitarias.
Okay, there are a couple of things about that. One is that the United States has some very sturdy regulations in regard to phytosanitary issues. For example, there's a small fruit that's called the ochuva. And there was research done about the feasibility of bringing it into the United States, and that was done over a period of 10 years.
Entonces, Colombia no tiene una oferta apropiada.
And all of that has not come to any actual proposal to bring that fruit into the United States. And actually, the United States is not writing this or signing this agreement in order to be able to buy more products from Colombia. The idea is to be able to sell more products to Colombia.
De hecho, cuando los funcionarios de Estados Unidos hablan del tratado, lo primero que señalan
when the agreement is talked about in Congress and other places in the United States, what's always emphasized is that this is going to open new opportunities for producers in the United States to export to Colombia.
Estados Unidos va a comprar, o existe la posibilidad que Estados Unidos compre productos tropicales.
The products that Colombia could begin to offer in greater quantities are things that other tropical countries are able to offer as well, and so Colombia doesn't have a unique niche in that way.
One of the obstacles to the free trade agreement passing and getting ratified in the United States appears to be about labor unions and Colombia's labor unions and whether they're for it or against the trade agreement and their treatment. How would you describe how this debate is unfolding? While President Uribe was here, he brought people who said Colombia's labor unions want the free trade agreement. How did people react to that in Colombia?
En muy pocos sectores de la economía, por ejemplo, en los sectores de flores,
in very few sectors of the economy, especially, for example, flowers, the flower industry, the owners have succeeded in selling to the workers the idea that the agreement would really benefit them and that it would bring them greater income.
Y lo mismo en el caso de los textiles.
The textile workers are another example.
Pero en el caso de las flores, en primer lugar, los empresarios colombianos.
But for example, in the flower industry, over the last 6 or 7 years, the owners of the industry have been selling increasing amounts of flowers to the United States. But interestingly, employment in that industry in Colombia has been coming down over the same period of time. So it hasn't increased employment.
La Dole acaba de cerrar unas plantas en unas plantaciones.
For example, Dole has closed down a couple of plantations recently. What's happening is that the flower industry is being displaced out of Colombia. It's going to places like China where labor costs are lower.
O sea que el crecimiento de la producción en una u otra rama.
So where these dynamics are happening is not just in the signing of agreements, but the decision by multinational corporations of where it best suits them in terms of costs and everything to locate their factories or their plantations.
Por ejemplo, en los textiles, algunos muy pocos dirigentes sindicales, muy pocos.
In the textile industry, a very small number of union leaders have the belief that with the free trade agreement signing, then the textile industry in Colombia would begin to grow.
Pero en realidad, la expansión o no de la industria textil en Colombia depende.
But actually, the market for textiles depends on a lot of other factors as well as free trade agreements, and it has to do with the global demand and where textiles are being produced in other countries and all other multilateral agreements that have been made.
You're listening to Worldview from Chicago Public Radio. I'm Jerome McDonald speaking with Enrique Daza. He is with the Alternative Democratic Poll Party, the opposition party in Colombia. He's also the director of Recalca. It's a coalition of a lot of different groups, organizations, union and community groups, and they're fighting against the U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement. You mentioned Dole, and there are lots of multinational companies who do business in Colombia and have had interesting relationships while they're there. Some have been affiliated, ever accused of hiring paramilitary groups to protect their interests in the country, and lots of union people get killed in Colombia. What kind of things and interactions are there between multinationals and unions in Colombia?
Hay una relación muy estrecha porque las multinacionales en sectores como el carbón, el petróleo, las flores.
There is a close relationship between the operations of the multinational corporations and the danger to union members. And there are a number of cases in the United States right now that are still going on that have to do with the petroleum company or the
banana,
Chiquita Banana, the coal company, Drummond, and the petroleum company, Occidental Petroleum. That are ongoing that have to do with abuses that happened because of relationships of these companies with the paramilitaries or with other situations that have caused danger or actual harm to union members.
Esto no es nada nuevo en el mundo. Eso está documentado ampliamente.
This is actually not just a feature of Colombia, the way things work there, but this is happening all over the world. It's a global phenomenon that many of the large corporations are being sued because of abuses against workers. What's new about it is that is these cases that the abuses are being brought to light in the courts of the United States.
Pero sorprende que en algunos casos recientes.
Unfortunately, in some of these cases, there have been small fines charged, and it's been the possibility of an actual just judgment being brought against these companies has been blocked.
If there were efforts in the free trade agreement with Colombia to have worker protections and clauses about the environment, do you think that would help the situation if there's cases coming against the multinationals and more worker protections built into the free trade agreement? Would that end up making it okay to move ahead with this? Would that be something that might help assuage concerns about this?
El Tratado de Libre Comercio no garantiza condiciones laborales adecuadas. Lo que sucede en Colombia.
The free trade agreement between the United States and Colombia doesn't include adequate protections or guarantees for workers. And the thing is that the situation over the last 20 years has been in a steady decline. The conditions and the safety of workers has been worsening instead of improving.
La causa de los problemas laborales no es que estén asesinando a los sindicalistas. Eso es una consecuencia.
The murders of union members is not a cause of the problems that unions have had in Colombia. It's a consequence. There has been a series of changes in the laws over the last 20 years in Colombia that have made it increasingly difficult for unions to organize and then to get justice when their rights have been violated. So there's been essentially a systematic campaign of laws and of ideology and of practice that has been an attack on workers. It began with the assertion that unionized workers were privileged and creating an antagonism between general society and the unionized workers. So the governments themselves have created a situation where when a union leader is killed, then people think it's a good thing.
Mucha gente dice cuando matan a un sindicalista, lo que piensa es que algo tuvo que hacer para que lo mataran.
When people hear that a union member or a leader has been killed, then often what they think to themselves is, well, he must have done something that caused this, that brought about his death.
En lugar de condenar radicalmente los asesinatos.
Instead of speaking out and condemning the killing.
En Colombia en los últimos 15 años se ha multiplicado el desempleo.
In Colombia, over the last 15 years or so, unemployment has continued to get worse and worse. The only part of the economy that has grown is the informal economy.
You're with the Alternative Democratic Poll Party, and this is the opposition party now in Colombia. You ran a presidential candidate that got 22% of the vote last time around, which was the biggest amount of vote that a party from the left has ever gotten in a presidential election. What is the status of the left in Colombia? Because it seems like people really like President Uribe, and they voted for him in great numbers again for his reelection, in spite of the fact that in the region, lots of countries are swinging to the left, and Colombia doesn't really have a left that's really challenging for power.
Bueno, el presidente Uribe ha organizado lo que nosotros hemos denominado una gran maniobra clientelista.
What's happened is that President Uribe has constructed what we see and what we call a great network of clients within the government so that it's people who get jobs or people who get contracts, and they're people in his network.
Aprovechando unas situaciones muy particulares, como por ejemplo las privatizaciones,
and this has gone along with a couple of dynamics that have been going on. One is the privatization of many parts of the Colombian economy. And so then who gets the contracts and who gets the companies? And then also a rise in prices, some prices of products for export. And these have worked together to benefit the president.
La presidencia ha concentrado mucho poder para manejar arbitrariamente estos dineros.
The president has concentrated power in a very arbitrary way to be able to control these resources. What's happening in Colombia is very similar to what happened in Peru under Fujimori.
Hay otro factor y es el mismo gobierno se ha creado.
There's also another factor, and that is that the government has been working on creating an atmosphere of terror and concern in the population of Colombia.
Algo como parecido a lo que analizaba Michael Moore en las películas sobre el miedo.
It's kind of similar to what Michael Moore documented in his films on the U.S. society, how the administration can create an atmosphere of fear and terror among the people and then say, we're the ones who you can trust in this situation of national emergency.
Por ejemplo, el gobierno dijo recientemente que si él no hubiera estado de presidente, las FARC se hubieran tomado el poder.
For example, President Uribe said recently, if I had not been the president during this time, the leftist FARC guerrillas would have been able to take over power in Colombia.
Eso no lo cree nadie en Colombia.
Actually, nobody believes that in Colombia.
Que las FARC hubieran estado en condiciones de tomar el poder.
They know that the FARC guerrillas would not have had the capacity to take power.
Sí. Pero creando una atmósfera de este estilo influye sobre la opinión pública.
Nevertheless, just saying things like that and creating this atmosphere of fear, it does influence the way people feel and the decisions that they make.
También hay un manejo de los medios de comunicación donde
another aspect of it is that the government of Colombia has major controlling interests. Individuals within the government, I should say, have major controlling interests in the mass media of the country. And so there's just a lot of influence and limitation on what is communicated there. I think that on average, the president spends several hours a day, every day, giving speeches and presentations in various kinds of media. And on Saturdays, generally, he is speaking all day long in what are called community councils. So he has his point of view out there constantly. It's a very dangerous situation because what's happening is the construction of a great lie in our society.
Con cierta sentido mesiánico, el gobierno dijo en los días pasados que más o menos.
And there's messianic overtones to this as well. For example, there was a statement issued last week that the only thing that's going to save Colombia from a major catastrophe is for President Uribe to be reelected yet a third time.
Para finalizar sobre ese tema. El presidente Uribe cree que puede con su voluntad.
To finish up that particular topic, President Uribe believes that by an act of his will, he can simply change the functioning of democratic society.
Hay innumerables hechos que demuestran que hay interpretaciones legales.
There are many examples of that, of times when decisions have been taken that override Colombia's actual laws and judgments that have been set down by the courts.
Are the courts looked at now as something of an independent force in Colombia because they are challenging the president? It sounds like there's been this unfolding paramilitary scandal where the Supreme Court has been charging people. There's 14 people in jail awaiting trial, and lots of these people are closely connected to the president, relatives of the president are involved. Is the paramilitary scandal in politics something that gives you hope that thinks, well, there are institutions that are going to challenge President Uribe?
Bueno, por primera vez en la historia reciente de Colombia hay investigaciones sobre el círculo íntimo del gobierno.
Right now is the first time in recent history in Colombia that there are open investigations regarding the activities of people who are close to members of the current administration. But the government has a constant effort going to interfere with the decisions of the high courts. For example, trying to make sure that they decide who are the new members of the major courts. Another thing is that they will challenge the courts in a public and really antagonistic, hostile way.
Cosa que en cualquier país sería tomado como una interferencia.
In almost any country, this would be taken as a violation of the balances of power, where the executive branch and the judicial branch are supposed to be separate.
Yo creo que las cortes están en un problema.
I think that the courts are really struggling, actually, that they've gotten into a problem. But my hope is that the popular movement in Colombia will be able to pressure the courts and call for a continued investigation so that they'll be able to remain independent.
Lo que pasa es que ha sido tan notorio y tan evidente.
The thing is, the way that Uribe's whole group, his followers, the people that support him, they have been so closely involved with paramilitary activities and financing and support. It's just too blatant. It can't be denied.
I know you're involved with a group called the Hemispheric Social Alliance. What's that?
Es una coalición de organizaciones sociales, de redes, de sindicatos, de campesinos, que se...
The Hemispheric Social Alliance is a movement of unions, small farmers, organizations, grassroots groups that have come together to oppose the free trade agreements throughout the Americas and ultimately the policies and agreements that come out of the WTO.
Do you find that there are a lot more people in the United States now, certainly the U.S. Congress is now in control of the Democrats, do you feel like free trade agreements are in a different place, that your position and people who think like you is a growing number in this hemisphere?
Hace poco hicieron una encuesta dentro de los votantes republicanos.
Recently, there was a poll done among Republican voters in the U.S., and the majority of them were against free trade agreements.
Y nosotros pensamos que la moda del libre comercio.
We think that the fad of free trade, so-called free trade, has already passed its prime. There's just too much evidence that this is not working.
Porque era una especie de utopía capitalista, que era lograr un mundo feliz.
Because it was capitalist utopia. It was this dream that the world would come to be just this happy place that had just no state interference and that was controlled simply by three or four multinational corporations with a sort of benign management. And it just is not realistic.
Y eso ha dejado una sociedad completamente desarticulada, el medio ambiente destruido.
What's happened is that we are left with fractured societies, a damaged environment, and lots of suffering. And these things were forecast 15 or 20 years ago when this model was in its prime, but now they're a reality.
Y yo pienso que en Estados Unidos aumenta la conciencia sobre esto. Nosotros pensamos que hay una gran...
What we see is that there is a lot of discontent in U.S. society, that people are not happy with the way these things have worked out, and especially with the idea that you become more of a person and a happier human being by consuming more. People have seen through that. They see that that's not the case.
Y lo peor de todo es que ese consumo no es que todo el mundo pueda consumir.
And the problem that people are seeing is that the consumer paradise is only for a limited number of people, and that it's not something that can be shared with the great majority of people on the planet.
Es como un programa de televisión, como esos típicos programas de televisión donde pasan cómo funciona.
It's like television programs that hold up this ideal of this American lifestyle as something that everybody should aspire to. And the fact is that most people in the world can't aspire to it. It's not realistic.
You're listening to Worldview from Chicago Public Radio. I'm Jerome McDonald speaking with Enrique Daza, and he is with the Alternative Democratic Poll Party in Colombia, and he's also director of Recalca. It's a coalition of organizations that are fighting the U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement. If the great idea of free trade is not working, and maybe some people still think it does work, that you know, more trade is going to lead to more jobs and it's going to make everybody better off and there's all these people getting lifted out of poverty in China. But if there's an alternative to that, what is it? What kind of alternative is out there that isn't this capitalist utopia?
Yo pienso que una cosa es el comercio y otra cosa es el comercio internacional. La utopía del libre comercio.
I think that there are two different things here. Trade is one thing, and international trade is another. In the United States, for example, the United States only exports about 10% of its gross national product. The rest is produced for internal consumption for the people of the U.S.
Entonces, la teoría del libre comercio lo que dice.
The theory of free trade is that there's actually no economic growth without international trade. But this is false because it's really the internal trade within countries that is the major driver of the economy.
Y esto no es un problema secundario porque lo que se busca es una economía que satisfaga las necesidades de la.
What we want is an economy that meets the needs of the people. And the major way to make the resources to make this happen are available locally within communities and within the country as a whole to meet the needs of people with the resources that are available right at hand.
Y hay demasiadas mentiras en esto. Por ejemplo, los países.
The thing is that there's a lot of lying and covering over the truth in the free trade model, because what happens is that the countries that are the greatest exporters of agricultural products have the greatest protection barriers to the imports from other countries.
Los países que más hablan en contra, como Estados Unidos, en contra de la intervención del Estado en la economía.
The countries like the United States that speak the most strongly against state interference in the economy are actually the ones where the state is very active in the economy, setting up situations to favor the multinational corporations.
Han hecho estudios sobre la cantidad de reglamentación.
They've done studies on the amount of laws and time and energy that have to be invested to be able to keep the machinery oiled for international, multinational companies. And they found that it's just a huge amount of investment that has to be constantly put into that by the government.
O sea, no es una situación donde uno diga.
In other words, it's not a situation where you would say that the government just folded its arms and stood there and didn't do anything while the multinational corporations took over. No, the governments have been very active. What we propose also involves a very active government, but we would like the government to be active on behalf of the poor and on behalf of the internal markets of a country.
A favor de la inmensa mayoría de la población.
And that means the great majority of the people.
Y nosotros pensamos que los pocos grupos de.
We think that the small group of multinational corporations that are basically managing the world, they are a disgrace and are doing great damage to the world.
Enrique Daza, thanks a lot for joining us.
Gracias a ustedes por la invitación.
Thank you so much for inviting me here.
Enrique Daza is spokesperson for the Colombian Network for Action Against Free Trade. Daza also sits on the executive committee of the Alternative Democratic Poll, one of the main opposition parties in Colombia. President Bush is expected to force a vote in Congress on the Colombia Free Trade Agreement. The process could get rolling by the end of the week.